Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 402, the stanzas 1, 3, and 5. Oh, sing ye hallelujah. 'Tis good our God to praise, 'tis pleasant and becoming to him our songs to raise, and what follows. Psalter 402, the stanzas 1, 3, and 5. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Matthew 13, the verses 18 through 35. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Matthew 13, the verses 18 through 35. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then had the tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mr. and Mrs. Mitchell and Leanne the Cook, who were blessed with the birth of a baby daughter, Mr. Neil Vondeman, married, her birthday this week, and also Mr. Simon van Wieringa, who hopes to turn 88. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indescribable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou was granted unto us and our children another week of grace, and also another Lord's Day. Then thou was watched over each and every one of us in the midst of the trials of life and the many cares, the many concerns. Then thou wast not taken one away by the cold hand of death, but we may still be in the precious day of grace. And then in this morning, then thou wast given that both the moon, the full moon, and the sun may shine in their brilliancy, the one by its own power, the other way in the way of reflection. And thou wast promised in thy holy word that as long as the sun and the moon endure, that they shall fear thee throughout all generations, our Lord. May it please thee in thy house to grant deep and profound impressions of thy goodness, of thy mercy, but also of our sinfulness and our unworthiness. Ah, what a blessing when we may receive that place of that centurion of old, where he was given to confess that he was not worthy that thou would come under his roof. But, our Lord, he could not miss thee. Thou knowest most perfectly how it has been in the past week, what we have been busy with, all our daily labors, but also whether we were busy with our never-dying souls, how it has been at the throne of grace, and also in this morning hour, how that we have come up to thy house, our Lord. When that thirst and hunger is missing, wilt thou graciously work it by the first time and by renewal. And when there have come up souls with that longing, with that thirst, and with that desire for thee, the living God, our Lord, put them not to shame. We humbly ask thee for a blessing upon thy holy word. May it be for the conversion of sinners when there is a building upon sandy foundations, that it may be uncovered, we have heard out of thy holy word, that the seed of thy word has fallen on different places. May it please thee in this day that it may fall on well-prepared hearts. That is the work of thy Holy Spirit. But wilt thou also remember thy people? Thou knowest their condition. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Be then a surprising God in this morning hour. Lord, then thou yet maketh a great difference also in this day. There are countries where there is war, where there is much distress, overwhelmed, where they cannot go up to thy house, where they need to gather in secret. Many wounded, wilt thou remember that people? And then also so many countries on account of persecution, where it is also not possible, and what maketh us and our children to differ, and how long shall it be, Lord, it is known unto thee, because as a nation, as a people, as a church, then there is such a great departing. Wilt thou grant that repentance and that returning unto thee, the living God, may there on this Sabbath day, may thy word richly be blessed over the length and the breadth of the earth, that the kingdom of Satan may be diminished, and that the glorious kingdom of Jesus Christ, that it may greatly be expanded, therefore the earth may still stand, therefore the sun may still arise. Lord, then we commend unto thee a young father and mother for the first time in their married life, where thou wast blessed them with the birth of a little daughter, where thou wast spared life, where thou wast given life. Wilt thou grant humble and broken hearts, unable to sprinkle their little daughter with their tears, on account of thy wonderful creation, the psalmist of old has declared, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. But also tears with profound impressions, that we all need that second birth. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. May it be a little daughter for thee. So we commend unto thee the grandparents, the great-grandparents, with their increased blessing and an increased responsibility. We commend all the mothers with the unborn unto thee. Wilt thou graciously watch over them, and do remember the barren ones amongst us, Lord. Thou wast given unto a father after being a certain time in the hospital, that he may return to his home with his dear wife. Then thou wast given much improvement. Wilt thou grant a humble heart, and above all things, O Lord, may this calling, may it be used, may it be sanctified for the saving of a soul. A young father had knee surgery, their daughter eye surgery. Thou hast helped them both through the surgery. Wilt thou now grant further strengthening and healing? Then thou wert also speaking to that family in a special way. My son, my daughter, give me thy heart. And to that end, may this calling be accompanied with the work of thy Holy Spirit for the saving of souls. In the past week, an other father who had the second knee surgery, wilt thou also grant unto him healing and strengthening, make it profitable for souls. And so we commend unto thee all those that are under the care of the physicians with pain, with weariness, with other difficulties. Grant them that special place at thy footstool, and that all these callings may be used, that poor sinners with their sin-sick souls may be brought at the feet of that heavenly physician, thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, for the saving of their souls. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones, all the elderly ones, remember the handicapped ones, do remember the family circles, And now, Lord, we humbly ask thee in this morning hour for thy gracious help to open thy precious testimony, and may thy word be blessed to the hearts of young and old, to that end, go from heart to heart and from dwelling to dwelling for those that are lawfully entered. It all awaits for thy blessing. Lord, we have nothing to plead upon as a congregation but a company of poor sinners that forfeit everything by renewal, and also such an ungrateful people for all thy common mercies, even for thy special mercies, and so quickly to murmur when thou withholdest but a few. But, O Lord, glorify then thy great and worthy name in a richer measure amongst us and our children in the coming of thy kingdom. Wilt thou forgive us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 419, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. There in thy holy habitation, thou wilt thy saints provide with every blessing of salvation, till all are satisfied. And what follows? Psalter 419, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Matthew 13, the verses 31 and 32, where God's word and our text reads thus. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Our text words speak of the parable of the mustard seed, encouragement for discouraged sowers, with three thoughts. In the first place, the wonder of the mustard seed. Secondly, the sowing of the mustard seed. Thirdly, the growing of the mustard seed. And fourthly, the blessing of the mustard seed. The parable of the mustard seed, encouragement for discouraged sowers. The wonder, the sowing, the growing, and the blessing of the mustard seed. Thus first, the wonder of the mustard seed. Beloved congregation, Matthew 13, we find many parables concerning the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. And that term refers because in a certain place in the gospel, then Christ has declared that the kingdom of heaven is within you. Thus in the first place, that inward work of the Spirit of free and sovereign grace in the heart of sinners. in its outward manifestation here upon the earth. And now in our parable, then we have something very small, boys and girls. That is a mustard seed. And when we read in our text that it is at least a figurative way of speaking, but they tell us it is the least of the seeds that a man would plant in his garden. And then the question could be, such a little seed, what is now the purpose that it must be planted? To that end, then we have stated the parable of the mustard seed, encouragement for discouraged sowers. Then in the parable of the sower, of the four types of soil, but also in our parable, then the name of the sower is not mentioned. That is not the most important. The Lord uses feeble and weak means to fulfill his purpose, that his glorious kingdom may come here upon the earth. And now concerning that discouragement, then we find it time and time by renewal in the scriptures, of course, in the first place. Then the sowers of the seed, they can become so discouraged and disappointed with themselves, but also concerning their labors, then we hear the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53 verse 1, who hath heard our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed. Think of the prophet Elijah, who was filled with such a zeal for the honor of a sender when he has stood on Mount Carmel alone, and where the Lord has manifested his almighty power, and upon his prayers, that the heavens have been opened. But then in 1 Kings 19, then we find him under a juniper tree. He had hoped that with the wonders, the manifestation of the Lord's power, that Ahab and Queen Jezebel with the people, that they would have truly chosen for the Lord and walked in his ways. But then when Jezebel has sent his message that he would soon be like those priests that had been slain, then he is one in the wilderness, and there he lie, Lord, take me away, for I am not better than my fathers. We read of the prophet Jeremiah that there was a time that he has told the Lord, Lord, I will speak no more in thy name because this people do not hearken. But then we read that the word of God was like as a burning fire, and so he continued. Do we not read of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 19, the verses 41 and 42, that he has wept over Jerusalem, and in Matthew 23, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them to thee, how often I have gathered thy children together under my wings as a chicken gathers her chicks, and ye would not. Thus courage in this parable for discouraged sowers. And then we read in Psalm 100, bringing sheaves with him. And this 11 verse 3, that we are called upon to cast our seed upon all waters, and we shall find it after many days. Thus concerning discouraged sowers, when we consider sowers, fathers and mothers in the family circle, office bearers in the church, catechism classes, and our Christian school, then this parable has many applications. And now, of course, because the parable before concerning those different types of soils, that speaks of the responsibility of man. But now in our parable, then it speaks of the free and sovereign grace of a triune God, when a heart is wrought upon by the means of grace. And then, of course, it is the duty, and boys and girls, then you can think about it, then family circles have something to speak about. Let us just mention catechism, then I know that you know what you must do, not to discourage your instructors. We do not have to mention all those things. I hope that that may be in your mind also this season, but not only in catechism class when the seed may be sown. And now in our text words, then our first point, the wonder of the mustard seed. We also find this parable in Mark 4, the verses 31 and 32, and in Luke 13, the verses 18 and 19. And then Christ has asked the audience, whereunto shall I liken, or to what shall I compare the mustard seed? Thus that is to arouse attention. And then Jesus has given an answer. And now our first point, boys and girls, then we are called upon to consider the wonder of one little mustard seed. That is the creation of God. We read in Genesis 1, the verses 11 and 12, concerning the third day of creation, each seed, that it would bear fruit. And now when we consider this little mustard seed, then it has life in it. And then in that little mustard seed, that one little mustard seed, there is the root, there is the stem, the branches, and the fruit. Everything is in that mustard seed. And in that very small seed, there is life. If in the day of tomorrow we would go and visit some very capable engineers, and engineers, they can do much with the Lord's help. Of course, people cannot create anything. They can make something. They can make a big plane, flies more than 400 people. A fighter jet that goes much faster than sound. They can cause voices and pictures to come through the air. But if we would now go and visit engineers in the day of tomorrow with a little mustard seed, and we would say, engineer, now I ask you to make a little seed, a little mustard seed, that will grow. How long do you need to make that seed? Tell us. A week or 2 weeks, or if you need a month, and then we hope to come back. And then those engineers, they would look at us and they would tell us, that they have been able to do much. And they could make a seed that looks exactly the same, that we could not tell the difference. But if they would give us such a seed, and we would place it in the ground, and we would look day after day and week after week, it would not grow. Thus the wonder of the mustard seed. That is that Almighty Creator who can create such a little seed, and in that seed that there is life. When we consider that wonder of the mustard seed, then congregation, should it not be our concern that that great Almighty Creator who has created everything and continues everything in its being, and then each season, how many seeds are sown upon all the acres, then each seed is a wonder of the Lord, then should it not be our greatest concern that that great Almighty God, by grace, that he becomes our God, this all-important thing, and that we are saved by that God to receive the pardoning of our sins. When we consider that Almighty God, then we do well that we examine our hearts, whether that God is against us or for us. The wonder of the mustard seed. But now our boys and girls can understand it, that if a seed, when your parents have a garden and they purchase some seed and they leave it in the container, then it is never going to grow. Same thing with a farmer, that it needs to be sown. And to that end, our second point, the sowing of the mustard seed is in a certain place. In Matthew, his field marked the earth, and in Luke, his garden. And when we consider that word garden, that brings it a little closer. Then our families, we may consider them as a garden, the church, but also we read in the Song of Solomon that the bride is spoken of her heart as a garden, and that the seed, the mustard seed, needs to be sown. And then our children, they understand it. It is declared in God's word in the parables concerning the seed, that the seed is the word of God. And now that seed needs to be sown. That was the concern among the reformers, because before the time of the Reformation, then that Bible was hidden in libraries where only a few people had access to it, and where most of the people were forbidden to read that word. Thus it was impressed upon the hearts of the reformers that that seed needed to be sown, and to that end, they have begun to translate the Bible. John Wycliffe, who died in 1384, Bible was approximately finished with the help of Nicholas Hereford. Then that Bible was translated into the English language, spread among the people. Then you have read of it, boys and girls. It is necessary for us and our children that we read the history of the church and also of the Reformation, how that they went two and two from house to house, and that they have spread the gospel. And then if we think of Martin Luther in the Wartburg in 1522, then he is also in a short time. It was not a perfect translation, but then in the time of 10 months, then he has translated the New Testament into German, and in 1534, the Old Testament was also translated. Then, boys and girls, you have undoubtedly heard and read of William Tyndale in 1524 when he was looking out his window and when he saw a 10-year-old boy walking behind the plow, that he has received a vision that a time would come that such a 10-year-old boy and a girl helping their mother in the kitchen, that they would know much of the scriptures. Thus the necessity, that mustard seed that needed to be sown. And then if it is well, then those sowers, they have much concern. When it is well, then there should be prayer, because a sower with that little mustard seed was his duty, his calling, to entrust it to his garden, that the soil needed to be prepared. But that sower in our parable, he could not make that seed grow. That was the Lord's work. Then the Lord needed that he would grant sunshine, warmth, rain, because the little plant needs moisture. We have read together out, we have read that text from Psalm 126. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing sheaves with him. Then what a concern there can be. There should be concerning the sower, because so much can take place. Can be a drought, hail, disease, too much heat, great storms, caterpillars, grasshoppers that destroy the little plant. Nevertheless, the calling for the sower, that that little seed may be entrusted to the earth, because we read in our text another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. Then what a privilege that we may live in a time that we may possess that seed. That is the word of God. Before the time and during the time of the Reformation, then Bibles, they were not only forbidden the way of persecution, but also very expensive. They tell us in the time of Martin Luther, a young girl would have to work a whole year to purchase a Bible if there was one available. I've read in 1611, when our King James Version was finished by the translators, that a farmer who had two cows, that he had to sell one of them to purchase a Bible for the family circle and boys and girls. You have read the story of Mary Jones. Thus, what a privilege that we may have that seed. But we have stated it remains in the container, remains in the bag. Then there shall be no fruit. Thus with all our Bibles, when they are closed, not opened, not searched, and not prayed over, then it shall remain unfruitful. No, we cannot give the increase. I read in Zechariah 4 verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus the seed has been sown. And boys and girls, after the seed has been sown, what does that sower then do? When you help your father and mother plant a garden, do you just leave it to itself? Of course, work before, stones, weeds have to be gathered, and we have heard from the parable before concerning the weed and the tares can be so close together. The Lord has a people that knows what it is to be troubled about those tares. But then necessary shall be the desire and the delight for one that is sown, that he shall visit that garden oftentimes to see if there's any growth. That's the expectation. How is it with us and our children, congregation, include office bearers? There's still that holy expectation that shall be when the Lord grants exercises, prayer, upon what the Lord has promised, and then there shall be an eager looking whether they may be fruit upon that sowing, that there needs to be a growing. That is our third thought. Let us first sing Psalter 358, the four stanzas. When in his might the Lord arose to set us free, and Zion was restored from her captivity, and transports then of joy and mirth, we praise the Lord of all the earth. And what follows, 358, the four stanzas. the parable of the mustard seed, encouragement for discouraged sowers. The wonder, the sowing, and now thirdly, the growing of the mustard seed. We read in verse 32, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown. Thus then, boys and girls, then for a moment we must go to our garden concerning that little mustard seed. And how does it now begin? Then it begins under the earth. That is that hidden work in the heart. Because our parable, that is together with the parable following, where Jesus has spoken concerning the parable of the leaven. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Thus then that parable speaks of a woman that has taken some dough and put in some yeast into it, and then it is placed in the oven, and then that loaf becomes larger. That is a work which we cannot see with our eyes, but that there is an increase. Thus, when that seed is also sown, our parable speaks more of the outward manifestation, but before anything appears above the earth, then there is a work under that earth. And then that seed is given to expand, a little sprout, a little root downward. We read that in Mark 4, verse 28, before Jesus has mentioned this parable, a root, a blade, an ear, the full ear, and then the harvest. Thus first a work underneath the ground, a work in the heart. And that is such a mysterious work. That is the work of free and sovereign grace. When the Lord works, when the Lord uses his word to that end, such a soul cannot give it a name, but it has become so different. And now for the sower, sometime it happens that the sower becomes impatient and that he starts digging into the earth to see if anything is happening. And then that seed does not come up. Thus, it is the work of the Lord. But now for that sower, then there is that desire and their expectation of looking out for, that he may see something come up, a little blade. There's a privilege when there may be impressions, tears, accompanied with a biblical life. It's encouragement. You shall say it's not enough. That is true. But it's still better than a hard heart and a hard face. There's still an encouragement when there may be those tokens that the word does at least make an impression, but then especially a looking for those little blades of love, faith, hope, repentance, humility, desires a sure mark of the work of the Lord. It is true in Mark 4, verse 28, must not remain with the blade. Ah, those little blades, those living blades. What a questions there can be, and what a fears. How often they are given to beg, Lord, is it now a true blade? Ah, they know what lives in their heart, but also that parable of the tares. What an examples we have in the Bible where the beginning seemed to be so good and so real. And it has become evident that it was not the true work of the Spirit. Ah, those little blades. What a fears there can be. What a storms. It is true. The greater that plant becomes, the more wind it catches. But those little blades, how fearful they can become. When it becomes dry, or when it is lively, then they may believe that they are such a little blade. But those blades, ah, we hear many of those blades in the Bible. Let us mention Psalm 42, verse 5. O my soul, why art thou cast down within me? And why so disquieted within? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of us. Lord's work to encourage those little blades, because those little blades, they can be, as we read in Isaiah 42, verse 3, of that broken reed, but that the Lord has promised that it shall never be bruised, but now when it is well, because for that sower, if it remains a little blade, then that sower should also be greatly concerned, because that blade needs to continue to grow, needs to be refreshed. We have not time to speak more of that little blade, because it is necessary, because in our text words it speaks. When it is grown, and then we have mentioned the ear, the full ear, 2 Peter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Knowledge of the dear Son of God for the pardoning of sins. And now concerning that seed, Lord is free. But the general way is John Newton. He has stated in a certain place that the life of the true believer is not as a mushroom. Boys and girls, you have seen it maybe on the lawn. One day no plant, and the next day you look and there's a mushroom. And the Lord is free. Think of Paul. But then he was led very clearly and very deeply concerning the things of the Lord. But John Newton has stated that generally the life of a believer is not as a mushroom, but as an oak tree. Grows little by little. The Lord is free. Oh, what was for the gladness and the rejoicing when that sower, when he was given to see blade, stem, and that it continue to grow. And we read in our text, from that little mustard seed, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Dr. Thompson, who was dwelt some years, visited the land of Israel. He has written in his book, The Land of the Book, and then he has spoken out of the scriptures and what he has seen. And then concerning that mustard plant, that he has seen those plants, it is not literally a tree, but that it was as tall as a rider on a horse. And other ones have written that sometimes such a plant becomes 15 feet tall. Not a real tree, but in a garden, and usually boys and girls, when we plant in a garden, then it does not become so tall. Of course, there are creeping plants. We put some poles or some wires, then they grow taller. But now in the garden, then there was a tree that grew like a tree, and it had such a strong stem and branches that the birds even came and lodged in the same. Does not mean an eagle has come, because they shall not build a nest in a garden beside a house. But then we are talking of smaller birds. Thus the blessing of the mustard tree. When we think of the time of the Reformation, when Martin Luther has posted his 95 theses, we would say only a little mustard seed. Was not the intention that it would so quickly be spread in Germany and in Europe and other countries. But concerning that seed, oh, the doctrines of free and sovereign grace, that concerning the salvation of man, his works are completely excluded. Oh, then that little mustard seed has been spread, sown, planted by the people in the time of the Reformation, that the family circles have received the Word of God. How it has grown into a great tree. How many weary souls there were with their burden of sin. Oh, it is true, before the time of the Reformation, the Lord always has a remnant. But that people were so wearied because they needed to be saved by their works, and they tried so hard and still so distressed. Oh, are there such souls in my midst that also need to hear, although we live more than 500 years after those theses have been posted, that there are souls that understand what that people before and during the time of the Reformation have experienced? No rest for their poor and for their restless souls. But when the gospel has been proclaimed, one-sided work of free and sovereign grace, then there were those souls that may receive that rest. Do we not read in the Song of Solomon 2:3, as the apple tree is among the trees of the woods, so was my beloved among the sons. I sat honored with great delight, and the taste of his fruit was pleasant to his mouth. Ah, then those birds in that garden of that man, of that sower, then they have found a place of rest when they may come in that mustard tree. And what do the little birds do? Then they were given to sing the praises of the Lord, the blessing of the mustard seed. And how is it now with us, congregation? Concerning that mustard seed, has it now fallen on well-prepared hearts? Has the Lord granted that precious beginning, like that leaven and that loaf of bread? This an astonishing supernatural work, as our fathers have written in the canons of Dort, the third and fourth head, the 12th article, as there appeared those little blades, because it cannot appear, cannot remain hidden, though we can try to hide it. But by the fruit ye shall know them. But now concerning the blades, needs to be more. Needs to grow in that tree. Need to be led further into the mysteries of salvation. And now concerning that seed, how is it now possible that Christ has declared in John 12, verse 24, verily I say unto you, except the seed of corn fall into the ground and die, it remaineth alone. But when it dieth, it beareth much fruit. Then Christ has compared himself to a seed. And that seed has died. He has suffered and died. And to that end, he has merited a righteousness for his people, that he may be saved, and then it shall bear much fruit. Ah, the tree. It's a picture of the church. Cover the whole face of the earth. Read similar things in Psalm 72, verse 16. Of that handful of corn sown on the mountains, and that it shall shake like the Lebanon. The parables, what shall I liken the kingdom of heaven unto? Many parables. May we be given to examine our hearts concerning that seed. How can be in this morning that there is a soul that says with Jeremiah 8, verse 20, summer is ended, the harvest is past, and I am not saved. Ah, that little plant. Two times in the Bible, Christ has even spoken of faith as a mustard seed. Then mountains could be removed. And also in Luke 17, after the disciples have asked, Lord, increase our faith, and then it can be in the fall that there are those fearing souls that they hoped in the summer months that their tree would grow more and more in knowledge, faith, love, hope, zeal, but also concerning the mysteries of salvation. But then the prophet has said to that people in verse 22, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why is the health of my people not healed? Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard in this morning of a very small seed, and with thy blessing, it has grown into a high tree in the midst of the garden, and it has become a great blessing, a picture of thy holy word. The seed may still be sown, howbeit with many shortcomings, but, O Lord, thou hast promised that it shall not return void unto thee. Convert what is unconverted. Ah, those little blades can be so afraid. They can so tremble. But, Lord, thy work, those little blades which belong unto thee, they cannot leave thee alone. And thou hast promised to never forsake the work of thine own hands. And then it is needful that those little blades are given to grow, that the roots may go deeper in the midst of all the storms, and that the ear, the full ear, may appear. And then at the end, then the harvest shall come. Lord, wilt thou remember us on the Sabbath day? Wilt thou help when we hope to meet with the confession of faith class? Grant traveling mercies. Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 169. The stanzas 1 and 2, thou visitest the earth in love, and sendest showers from above, enriching all the land and with all. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The Reformation service scheduled for November 9 has been rescheduled for this coming Tuesday evening, October 31 at 7:30 p.m. Psalter 169, the stanzas 1 and 2. pray, save the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.